Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So we are smack in the middle of a three-week series called A Prophet and Two Kings. This week, we will continue reading from 1 Samuel from chapter 8 and then two select verses from chapter 11. Hear now these words. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. And he said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to use his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us so that we also may be like other nations and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." So Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and there renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed offerings of well-being before the Lord, and there Saul and all the Israelites rejoiced greatly. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday when we hear of the people's cry, they cry out not to you, but for a king. As we wrestle with this message today, may our eyes and our hearts and our minds be fully open to what you would have us hear this day. Challenge us, strengthen us, encourage us, and lead us in the ways that lead to true life. That the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last week, I spent quite a bit of time talking about the foundation of Samuel. For those who may not be aware, Samuel was a child that his mother Hannah had prayed for, And Hannah said, if you give me the gift of a son, I will turn him into service, return him to you to be in service to you. And that is what happened. And Samuel, as a young boy, grew up serving in the temple of God. And it was Eli who instructed him on how to listen for the voice of God, to interpret that. And we learned last week that Samuel needed Eli as a mentor, and Eli needed Samuel in order to be able to pass on the responsibility of teaching and expounding upon God. That Samuel, having been prayed for before his birth, became a prophet of God who interceded by speaking on behalf of God to the people and also speaking to God. Speaking for God to the people and speaking to God on behalf of the people. So it was like a cooperative mix. Okay. Wow. I might need a lemon battery to keep me going there. So that is kind of where we're set up, right? So Samuel is taking over leadership within the temple for the worship life of the people. And he was also guiding and leading. Like, Samuel's in a pretty prominent position within the community. He truly was in a very important role. And when we think about the facets of the work that Samuel did, he served as prophet, he served as the priest on behalf of the people, and he served as judge in terms of redirecting their behaviors to guide them into the ways that God would have them go. But we know that the story is not just about Samuel, because if you look at the bulletin cover, you will see that there are two crowns. And here today we hear of the first. We know that the first chosen king over God's people was Saul. That Saul, if you read his story, was beautiful to look at from outward appearances. And yet under his kingship, we know that God was very disappointed in what transpired. We know that because David later, who we will talk about next week, is anointed while Saul is still alive in terms of being able to take over the kingship for God's people. So that is our setting. We have Samuel and these two king figures. But today's message is a little different because there are some true human emotions and expectations contained within the story. So the elders of Israel, meaning the people that had been guiding and had overseen their families who would have been around for a while, go to Samuel and say, "We want a king." How did Samuel respond to that? Did you hear? What was Samuel's emotional response to that? He was displeased? Did he feel rejected? Okay, everybody, pull your Bibles out. Let's go back and look. 1 Samuel chapter 8, when they called out, "But this thing displeased Samuel when they said." And in his displeasure, he went and he spoke to God, and God said, "Samuel, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about the fact that they have not rejected your leadership, they have rejected mine. And because they have rejected my leadership and the care that I have shown them, they've been doing this all along." Now sit with that for a minute. They have been doing this all along, even after being rescued out of Egypt from the hands of Pharaoh. So this has not been an easy road for the Israelites. This has not been an easy road in the relationship between God and God's chosen people. And here they are in the promised land asking for a king. Because maybe they're hoping that with a king, there will be other benefits that will come to them. That one, they're going to be like all the other nations, all the other groups of people. They won't be different or set apart because they will be organized and led in similar ways. How many of you have found yourself of just being in a strange crowd and you just wanted to fit in? Like you just didn't want people to look at you and be like, that person does not belong here, right? It makes me think of that Sesame Street, one of these things just doesn't belong here. Can y'all sing with me? One of these things just isn't the same. Maybe I'm dating myself. I'm looking at some of the younger people. They're like Sesame Street. But yeah, so there was this idea that they didn't want to look different or behave differently than the people around them. So they were looking for a king. But a king also served a very specific role in terms of power and might and the armies and the battles that they were constantly fighting. They wanted a champion, right, to go before them, to lead the way, to take over and obliterate the forces and obstacles against them. They were looking for this dynamic power to overthrow those around them. Have we ever wanted that? Have we ever wanted someone to go and overthrow the people that were giving us a hard time? Y'all are kind of sitting like, no, not me. Yes, me. Yes, us. Yes, in this world. That we are saying, well, we want somebody to take care of this, right? And they were looking to a king. Now, mind you, they were living in a place where there were lots of beliefs. There were those who believed in multiple gods. They had their idols and, you know, they would have had their images, their graven figurines that would have in, and I'm not talking about God's people, I'm talking about all the rest of them, would have said, this is our token that will lead us victorious through our battles. This is the God that will let us bear many, many children, that we will be fruitful. This is the idol, the God that will help us grow fantastic crops. They had all of these deities, and so success in war was often attributed to the power of their God, right? And they didn't see God as the one who had that power to overthrow all the things. They were looking for somebody who was a human who would be able to do that for them. They rejected God's leadership. But God, being who God is, basically said, Samuel, all right, listen to them. Give them what they want. And also tell them what it's going to cost them. Because in their minds, the grass is going to be greener on the other side, that if they had this king, their lives would be better. And the picture that Samuel paints is not better. When I read this on Monday for the first time with lectionary group, all I could hear were those echoes of give your first to God, give a tenth of what you grow, the best of the best. All of those things would no longer go to God. They would go to your human king. And I want to offer a distinction here that by giving the best, your first fruits, the tenth of your livestock to God was in response to what God was doing for them. It was a praise offering of thanksgiving to the glory of God. That is not what Samuel was telling them. That giving your first fruits, the best of your crops, your sons and daughters, was basically giving it to a human king that did not care for you like God did. King wouldn't care. And not only that, but he'd share your hard work and labors with those within the court. The ones God, the king chose, right? Not to benefit you. You'd lose your sons in battle. Did you hear that they would be in front of the chariots, meaning they are the front line? Their lives were expendable. It was not going to be better for them. It was not. And yet God gave them what they wanted. And Saul was chosen as king and became ultimately the beginning of the end for God's people. Sit with that for just a moment. How many of you have ever heard, be careful what you ask for? Be careful what you wish for, because it may not turn out the way you expect it to. More importantly, be careful who you ask this for. Let me say that again. Be careful who you ask this from. They asked it from humanity when instead we are called to ask of it from whom? God. So this is a lesson for all of us. That oftentimes we think that we may know better than God. That sometimes we just want to be like everybody else and have our hard times wiped away. We want to get through it, and we will look to whatever person that might help us get there, and it may take us farther away from that relationship with God that we truly desperately need. So what do we do? Are we left here sitting with this hard news, with the reality that what we hope for may not be what God intends for us? And then I say, and where is the message of hope in this? Well, one, God continues to listen. God continues to hear our cries. God continues to listen to our prayers. God continues to care for us even when we don't make good choices. And knowing this ultimately leads to just the fragmentation of God's people, we stand on the other side of the redemptive plan of Christ Jesus. That this human king they asked for could only truly be filled by one person, and that is Jesus. That Jesus is the one who ultimately is our prophet. That Jesus is ultimately our priest. That Jesus ultimately is our Lord. So we stand knowing times were rough. Times are rough. Times will continue to be rough. And God is still working in the midst of that. Not to turn to the world, rather to turn to God, to listen for God, to listen to God, to speak on behalf of God, and really lean into the promises that God has made. I hope today this will speak to you. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful who you ask for it from. Offer your prayers with humility and humbleness to God, and allow God to be the one to bring you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.